Cartier, boy. It's Cartier, boy. It's Cartier. It's Cartier.
Hey, what up, though, man? It's your boy, Cartier. We're in the car, man. We got a special guest today. This is my man all the way from Oregon, man. Let him know who you is.
Hey, I'm Queston Harris. How's it going?
Yeah, tell him the government, man. Let him get that Social Security number as well.
Yeah, it's 563.
Hey. That's enough of that. He got me in this car, man, with this nasty-ass fucking V8 juice, man. It tastes like... I'll tell you guys, it tastes like, this is VA vegetable juice, man. It tastes just like spaghetti sauce. I'm like, why you got me drinking this, dude? It's foolish. Foolish.
You gotta stay healthy, you gotta stay hydrated, man.
Yeah, it's trash. You put trash in your body every day, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Nasty. Nasty human right here. This is a nasty human. Man, what's going on, man? What's been going on with you, dude?
I don't know. I'm just coming to visit from, like you were saying, Oregon. I just moved up from South Florida, took a cross-country trip, just decided to stay. So I came up to see Washington and a couple of other dudes from the Navy. So just been checking it out up here.
Speaking of the Navy, man, let's go. Let's go ahead and talk about that. You already know we had to talk about the Navy, yeah. Man. Let's go. Man, when did you join, dude?
I don't even remember the year. It was like 2017, I think. Yeah, something like that.
That's when I joined. I joined summer 2017.
Yep. That sounds right. In. Yeah, June. Yep, June 2017. That's right.
Yeah, that's when I joined too.
Yep.
Probably was like a week before I got in.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Because I remember your class. You was in the same class with some whore. And somebody in sub school. Like before you even get to the boat, you gotta go through sub school. And she ended up marrying somebody in sub school.
Getting that BAH. Then,
yeah, getting all the benefits. And then ended up getting divorced from him because she was cheating on him with a bunch of dudes.
I think that was a couple months in.
Yeah, it was probably a couple months in, yeah. But let's talk about them. Oh, man. Yeah, them chicks, bro. When you're in the military, man, it's tough. It's tough to be in a relationship where you're not even at home. You're not, you know, you're miles away. And then you got your spouse at home. She's lonely and all that stuff. You never know. And then you got all this doubt in your head. And then you just, now you got a bunch of problems going on with you mentally. And that's crazy. That happened to me a lot. I used to be like, oh, man, paranoid. Man, I hope nobody's, you know. But, yeah, it's all about trust. Sheesh, man. That Navy life, dude. What was it like for you?
Come back from the 9-month deployment, your girl's 3 months pregnant.
Come back from the 9-month deployment.
It's a good time.
Yeah, man. Hey, wait a second. I wasn't even here. How did you get pregnant?
No, it's yours. It's yours.
No, I don't think so. Wait. I mean, my timeline, when I had my son, my timeline was perfect because I was there in April. I mean, I met my wife in June. She got pregnant in July. And then my son was born that April. Mm. So the timeline was perfect. Couldn't have been nobody else. That's how I figured it out. It was mine. The baby.
That's the only way?
That's the only way I knew. That and the blood type. That's how I knew it was perfect. But, yeah. But a lot of these guys go through that stuff in the military, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. I seen it on deployment, man. This dude, we was on deployment. And, like, when we get back from deployment, he got the smoke. You remember the smoke pit?
Mm-hmm.
Where all the bullshit goes down in the smoke pit. So these guys in the smoke pit on the base in Hawaii, they start showing like videos. They're like, hey, you guys want to see this video? We ran this train on this chick, man. Her husband was gone on deployment.
Oh,
they showed the guy who was the girl's husband. They showed the girl's husband the video. They didn't know it was the husband. It's like, yo, we just ran this train on her, dude. We annihilated her. She was easy, man. It's a
surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker. That's my wife. Oh, my goodness, man. You want to talk about somebody that was super depressed? But he deserved everything that happened to him, though. That guy was a piece of trash.
At least give him an invitation next time.
Yeah, just give him an invitation to watch. You can't join, though. You got to just sit there. You can't join. No. You stay over there. You stay over there. We about to enjoy your wife. That's sick, man. It's sick.
It's a good time.
It's sick what happens, bro. You gone on this deployment. You out here worried to death that you might get killed or something like that. And on top of that, you got to worry about what's going on with your family, safety and all that. Mm-hmm. And you can't do anything about it at all.
Yep.
There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing.
Looking out for Jody.
Yep, Jody. Jody's the big daddy in the crib now. He's eating all the kids' fruit snacks and, you know, he's doing it all, man. He's you while you're not there. He's supporting. It's like, it's just a horrible blow that you got to take. You don't got to take it, you know, if you got a good wife or a good spouse, you know. But a lot of dudes go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back from deployment, it's trash.
Yep.
Yeah, man. It's just, yeah, Navy. Did you have, what'd you like to do when you was in the Navy, man?
Oh, me, I didn't have much of an experience because most of my time I was just in training, and then I developed this panic disorder because some of the trainers you go through, you don't really know how your body's going to react to it. And, they said apparently it was, we got the tear gas.
Yeah.
And I guess my body reacted negatively to that, starts to associate confinement and being in closed spaces with danger. So that's what kind of happened with me. I was, didn't get an opportunity to actually get the whole experience there. I was like a couple years worth of counseling and, going through that whole process was most of my stuff, but...
Jeez. And that was the first time you ever had to deal with the yep. anxiety attack.
Yeah.
True in the story. Navy.
Yep.
You never had an anxiety attack before that.
Nope.
And do you say you're still kind of still getting over that right now?
Oh, hell yeah.
So the yeah. Navy has scarred you.
Yeah, you can say that.
Hey, I'm not trying to get sued. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, my lawyer's listening.
Yeah. Wait, what? They ain't gonna sue me. Yeah. I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but I had the same thing, kinda. I had the same thing, but later on. Like, we were doing some type of drill, and I put on the mask, but this was, like, the longest I ever had the mask on. The same mask that you had the panic attack in, mm-hmm. I had the same mask on. And it was, like, 10 minutes. I had the mask on for, like, 5 to 10 minutes. And it was like, because at first, like, I'm good with the mask the first 5 minutes. And then it feels like I'm starting to, like, I start trying to pull the mask off my face because yep. I really can't, it feel like I'm getting choked or I can't breathe. I'm suffocating. So yep. it's like, then I have a panic attack. They had to give me a, because I'm driving, at the time I was driving the boat. So they had to give me a relief from driving the boat because I was having a panic attack while driving a fucking, you know, billion-dollar submarine through the water that could kill us all.
At least it's nothing serious.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't nothing serious. We were like, it was crazy, bro. No, they had to give me a relief. I went to the doctor's office. They said my pupils were so dilated or something like that. They were like needles. It was so tiny. All you could see was like the whites of my eyes. And I was like uncontrollably tears coming down my face. It was like, man, it was crazy, bro. Ever since that moment, it really messed me up. To the point where I was like, man, I'm ready to get the hell out of the Navy, big time.
What's bad is that you could tell yourself that, you know, because these masks, the oxygen masks, that's what's actually keeping you alive in case of like a dangerous situation. And, but it doesn't matter what you tell yourself. It's like an uncontrollable, reaction to it. So.
Yeah. How many times did they make you put that mask on?
Oh, I used to go to the trainers. We'd go to class probably like, I don't know, 07 to like fucking 16 or something, whatever time we get out. And then I would go to the trainer for a couple hours after that every day, trying to like get through it. Because one of the things recommended was exposure therapy. So you just have to kind of reassociate what it is that your body is afraid of with something, you know, more positive or whatever you want to say. So kind of unsuccessful in that thus far, but I didn't stop trying, but it just didn't end up working for me.
Yeah. Hey, if I wouldn't have wasted time. If I can breathe in that mask, I'd be like, hey, I don't even want to try this again after what happened the first time. You think I want to do that again? I don't want to have another panic attack. Man, shoot. Yeah, but those panic attacks, that's nothing to play with, man. And then I would go to the doc. I was like, doc, man, I had that panic attack, bro. Yeah, you're not going to tell anybody about this? Like, because he wouldn't tell, like, the big Navy, the people who actually, like, who had diagnosed me with the thing. He wouldn't tell anybody that until it got to the point where I was so messed up that I was ended up cursing people out and they ended up getting put out the Navy for that. So it's just like, you just being used as a body in the Navy, man.
At certain points.
Yeah, it's like, man, you just here to be used. You're just a number. That's what it felt like when I was like towards my time going out. And I was like, and I was so happy getting out, man. It was probably the biggest smile I ever had on my face in my life. No joking.
Mine was probably a little mixed emotions because that was actually my plan. I wanted to be a lifer when I was going in.
You wanted to go 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my career, man. That's what I wanted to do. I've been doing all sorts of other stuff, but yeah, things. Sometimes life's got other plans for you.
Yeah, my career. I felt like when I was in the Navy, man, I was only doing one thing, and I felt like I could do a lot of stuff. I felt limited when I was in the Navy, man. I was like, every day, it was like when I worked at my first job at Red Lobster. I was like, man, I could be doing so much more, but I didn't know what the fuck I could be doing. And then when I got out the Navy, or when I got out the Red Lobster, I was like, man, I'm going to go join the Navy. That's all I got left. That's the only option I got. Even though it was like, when you actually get out in the real world, you see you got 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, respect. But then when I got out the Navy, I started seeing, like, oh, man, it's a whole bunch of opportunities out here to get this money. And then when I started my business, I was like, man, it's even more opportunity to get this money that nobody be knowing about because nobody teaches you this stuff, you know? It's something you just got to figure out by going out in the real world and looking at it.
Yeah, it's the thing just taking the risks, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, learning through experience.
Oh, yeah, I'm the biggest risk taker there is.
Yeah, for real.
How you going to quit? You going to quit the military? I was getting guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. No matter how, like, you know, most jobs, they'll fire you if you got poor performance. But in the military, even if you've got poor performance, you still get paid the same. You could be getting paid $5,000 a month from the military.
Be a shit bag.
But you're not even on the boat. That's how I was getting paid. I was off the boat half the time. I was stationed in Hawaii. I wasn't even on the boat.
Yeah.
Because I was dealing with, like, the first time I ever got on the boat, my very first underway on the boat, I had got sick to the point where I was damn near death. It's like, man, it was like, I was damn near death almost on that boat because the ventilation is horrible. You're breathing in everyone else's air and farts and stuff. And then when you get to the boat, they make you wash dishes. So I'm washing dishes, and I might have cut my hand or something, and I got open sores washing these dishes in the dirty dishwater, in the dirty air getting recirculated throughout. It's like, man, all that put together, it just destroyed me, my immune system. I got so sick that I was, like, that my spleen had grew.
Damn.
To the point where, like, if somebody would have hit me in my spleen, I probably would have ruptured. I probably would have died from internal bleeding, like, stuff like that. It was crazy, man, being in that Navy. And then, like, you being sick. You just being sick there. They'll be like, all right, you getting back to work or what? Like, dude, you didn't hear what I just said? I'm physically ill.
Yeah.
If I take a blow to the body, I'm done.
Be like, hey, you still going to be here for duty tomorrow?
Oh yeah, you still gonna come here for the work? Like, that's the stress that
you
they
bring your
on.
Portable IV with you.
Yeah, you just bring an IV with you down to the submarine. You gotta climb down the ladder to get on the boat. Yeah, it's so crazy. The Navy was so crazy, man. Ah, man, I'm glad I'm out, man. Now every time I don't even see anybody from the Navy. I'm still in the same. I live in the same city as the Navy. It's a Navy station, but I don't see anybody at all from the Navy. I live right around the corner from the base, and I still don't see anybody from the Navy. It's crazy. Man, that's the Navy, man. You don't have much to say because you didn't. You weren't in for very long.
I know. Yeah, my other buddy likes to joke around with me because he's like, he knows I didn't really do shit when I was in the military. So he's like, I'm gonna just give you one of those disabled veteran hats so I can walk around with that.
Yeah, I mean.
The fuck around.
Yeah, did you even go on a tour of a damn boat?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So that was the only time you went on a boat?
Yep.
You fake ass sailor. You fake ass military veteran. Get out of my face. Man, get out of here. Nobody wants that. Just... Alright, man. We gonna go to an ad real quick, man. I gotta get some bills paid. We'll be right back. And we back, man. Back with my boy Houston. How you doing, man?
I've been called worse.
Oh yeah, I know, because I've said it.
You knucklehead. Idiot, stupid retard, faggot.
Oh yeah, see, I used to do that back in the Navy, man. I started it back up now. I used to list off insults to people. I tried to see how many I could do at once.
He counted on his fingers.
Oh, like, you dummy, idiot, crackhead, dummy, moron, stupid, retard, crack brain, dickhead, dingus. Doofus, dummy, idiot.
What, McSpazitron was one of those?
Knuckleheaded McSpazitron. That's what I got from my boy Grant. He in Spain or something. Nah, he's not even on subs. He got all off right. Subs. He went to the surface. He got lucky.
Yeah,
he got a real good deal. But let's get into these bum stories, man.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of them.
Oh, I got a lot of bum stories out here in Seattle. I know you got a lot of bum stories from all over the country.
Yep.
You was in a bunch of bum capitals.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, Florida.
Eugene.
Oregon. Yeah.
All in Oregon.
I've been... I don't really have any bum stories from Detroit. You know, the bums wasn't crazy like that back when I was at home. They probably do their couple drugs and then that's it. But out here, man, they do their drugs and they have a fit.
It's like an open party on the streets, man.
Yeah, man. So, how about you tell us some couple stories about some bums that wanted you to be generous with the money?
Oh yeah, I was down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I lived like right by the beach, and I was going to, I think it was Publix. That we don't have those everywhere, but it's like a little grocery store. And I'm trying to go in. I have my little coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. I'm walking into the store. This dude comes up. He says, "Hey, man." He's like, "You wouldn't mind like if I got like a couple hundred dollars off?"
Man, I said a couple hundred dollars.
I say, "You say a couple hundred, dude." I was like, "I don't even have that myself, man." I was like, I barely got money for groceries right now. And then, so he points at my coffee. He's like, you got enough money to get in a coffee and stuff? He's like, "I want a coffee too." I was like, "I'll get you a fucking coffee, man." Like, damn, dude. I couldn't believe that though. He said, "Not a couple dollars." He said, "Let me get a couple hundred."
Gotta spend a night tonight for 2 weeks straight.
What is? Yeah, it's crazy, dude.
Man, listen, I got a story about. Oh man, this dude back in Seattle. He sits on the side of the road, right, all the time. It's like this tall. He like 6'6". He's like 6'6". Got a grizzly beard, dirty haircut. Looks like a dirty Shaggy.
Damn.
You know, I go out to Seattle. I do Uber Eats out there all the time. So I go to the restaurant, pick up the order, and I'm like, man, I'm feeling real good, man. Let me do a couple push-ups right here in the middle of the street. So I do a couple push-ups. Like, I'm doing my push-ups. I get up. I do, like, 25 or something. And I get up, and, like, I turn around. And it's the 6'6" fucking dirty bum. Smells exactly like shit. And he's like, and he's got a deep voice, like, "Hey, you think I can borrow a dollar or something to give me something to eat?" I immediately pulled my, I got my switchblade, but I didn't flip the switch. I'm like, hey, dude, don't sneak up behind me like that no more, man. You ain't getting nothing from me either. I'm getting out of here. All right, my bad. Yeah, it is. I'm out. I get in the car and I go do the delivery.
It just comes creeping right up on you, dude.
Yeah, because I was doing push-ups, right? So I'm in a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
So I get up and I look behind me and this guy, I turn around like, you ever seen them TV shows like, there's somebody behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, that's like what I did. I got a sense. I felt like somebody was behind me, and I looked behind me, and there's this old bum smelling like shit. Like, he literally wiped his hand and, like, put it in his mouth after he wiped his ass with his hand. That's what he smelled like. He smelled like he wiped his body with feces. Like, man, you smell horrible. Get your life together. It was nasty, bro. And it was a lot of times, like, I don't like giving the homeless people money a lot of times because I know where that money's going. And I'm not in the business of, like, if I give somebody some money, it's like an investment, you know what I'm saying? You're going to, like, that's, I feel like I get a good return on my investment if you go do something good with that money. Like, you're going to go get some food or you're going to, you know, get something to wash your body with or something like that. But it's a bad return on my investment when I know what you're going to do with that money. Because I see you on the side of the corner, you over here begging for change, and at the same time, you nodding off because you just did some heroin. And now you want some more money so you can get another hit. Like, no, I'm not about to give you money. I know exactly what you about to do with that money. You a clown. You think I'm about to give you that money? I don't feed monkeys. Now, when I say monkey, I mean the monkey on your back. Because you addicted. That's what we say. Like, oh, you got a monkey on your back. I'm not going to feed your monkey. You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
Yeah. You got any bum stories from Oregon?
Yeah, man. It's like, and I had this conversation with a lot of people up here because I'm like, it's like a whole different culture of like the homeless people, because up here everybody will be like living in little tent cities everywhere, like little mini cities of tents set up. And down in Florida, like, I mean, you might see that like maybe one spot, but this is all over the place. And there's people, when we were coming into the state, they're literally just living in tents on the side of the road, like,
yep.
You know, they got a little campfire set up, and that's just their life. You know, they just live there.
Shanty towns.
But what's cool is, like, in downtown, like, they're there every fucking day. They're just chilling. But they're all cool as hell. Like, they just got, like, instruments. They just be playing, like street performers, basically. And some of them are really good, too. I actually posted some videos of this guy. He's got, like, a great voice.
Yeah, I see.
But, yeah, they're super chill up here, man. Down in Florida, you'd be, like, worried them coming near you, man. Be like violent motherfuckers, dude.
Yeah, it's like, that's uncontrollable. You never know what they just did.
Yeah, but in Oregon, I mean, they seem pretty cool. They don't even like, a lot of them don't even really ask you for money.
Nah, man, I got some horrible stories when it comes to homeless people coming up to me, man. This dude was like, I remember one time, man, I almost stabbed this fool, man. This guy is like, so I'm doing it's always involving the Uber Eats delivery, right? So I'm doing an Uber Eats delivery. I'm going to go pick up this food from this Ethiopian restaurant or something like that. And this guy's like, he's in front of the restaurant. He's obviously high on cocaine or something, man. And he's like, he just started yelling out random crazy things. He's like, fuck all black people. And he was black.
What the hell?
I was like, bro. I'm like, dude. I start laughing, right? He see me start laughing. He's like, don't laugh at me, bro. Don't laugh at me, bro. I'm still laughing. It's like, bro, don't laugh at me, bro. Keep walking, bro. I go in the restaurant and get the food. And he's still out there talking. I can see him outside the window. He's still talking to me, yelling like, yeah, you come out the restaurant, bro. Come out the store, bro. Come out the store, bro. Yeah. So I get the food. I come out the restaurant. And he's talking. And then when I get, I'm trying to walk past him. He's like, faggot, faggot, faggot. He said like 20 times. And I start walking off. I'm like, all right, bro. Let me just get out of here.
That's wild.
And I'm getting in the car. He's still talking. I'm sitting there. I'm still laughing at him because this is funny to me. This man, don't laugh at me, bro. Don't laugh at me. He start walking. He had like this big ass fucking rucksack on his back. And he fucking takes it off. He comes to my car. And he like picks up a rock. And throws the rock at the back of my car, man. So I get out the car. I start chasing this bum around the damn block. I got a knife in my hand. I'm chasing the bum around the block. I got my Cartiers on. These are $3,000 sunglasses. And this man, and I'm chasing this man around a city block of Seattle with cameras all over the place. People start recording me like crazy. And I'm like, what am I doing, man? Have I lost my mind?
You're crazier than he was.
Yeah. I allowed this man to take me out of my element so badly.
Yeah.
I start chasing him around the city block with a knife in my hand, getting recorded by multiple people. You know, I could have went to jail. And I was like, man, see, and I had to learn, man, like, learning out here from these bums. You know, all he did was throw a rock at my car, man. At that time, I could have bought a couple more cars. But it was just, I just let my ego get ahead of me. Let that bum just take me off, throw me off my square, man. You know,
it's a good plan.
Focus.
It's a good idea.
What?
Just let him take your focus, man.
Yeah, let him take my focus.
Just give him your car keys next time. Hey, you know what? Just take it over, man. Let's switch spots.
Yeah, let's switch spots. How about I live your life and you live my life? He's like, oh, that's a great trait.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So you haven't had any crazy experiences with hobos?
Bums. I
mean, let me finish the list. The synonyms. All right, so this is what we call them. You got hobos. You got bums. You got scallywags. You got homeless. You got drifters. You got side of the roaders. You got wanderers. You got nomads. You ain't had no crazy stories with them?
Well, you know what's funny? Like, I've had a lot of bad experiences and shit like that, and I don't think I ever learned my damn lesson because I still be giving them rides and shit like all the time.
You give a stank-ass homeless man a ride in your car. Let me take a drink of this this nasty ass.
A nice V8 juice.
Oh yeah, V8 sponsor me. 100% vegetable juice. It's
good. You were just talking trash on it like 5 seconds ago.
Hey man, like they say on the commercials, man, should have had a V8. I'm gonna slap my. Should have had a V8. Now sponsor me. Give me a couple dollars. All right. It tastes like ravioli sauce.
That's why I like it. But no. Yeah, I gave a couple of them rides around here. But, yeah, there was these one dudes. It was at downtown Eugene. And apparently one of them, like, had stolen something. And he was, like, not a regular with the other homeless people there.
He got a society.
Yeah, so, like, he didn't really know them as good. And apparently he kept on saying, like, oh, you guys been stealing from me. So, like, he started going off. He was freaking out on everybody, and they were like, you need to calm down, dude. So he started, like, accusing everybody, and they were trying to calm him down, and eventually he just started swinging on them. And they're like, what the hell is this guy doing? And, yeah, he eventually, like, three other dudes walk up. They get him on the ground and start, like, beating the shit out of this dude, like, right in the middle of the streets.
Damn.
And they start running away, the dudes that were beating the shit out of him. They start running. And, I asked them, you know, because they ran over kind of where I was standing. I was like, what's this guy doing, man? They said, nah, he just, like, he was going off thinking that we were stealing stuff, so he started acting crazy. We had to, like, lay him down.
Yeah, put him in his place.
Yeah, and he goes, one of the dudes, he goes, he's lucky, though. He pulls out this fucking, like, I don't know, dude, the easiest way. It looked like a damn prison shank or something. I'm like, he goes, he's lucky I didn't pull this on him. I'm like, the fuck you talking about?
Is that serious?
Like, yo, dude. So they just kind of disappeared after that. But you see them all the time. I see the same dudes down there like every day.
Yeah, in Seattle they got their own little society of homeless bums, scallywags, dirtbags too. Like I seen, like they got a whole city. Like if you can look it up on Google, man. It's like what is it? I forgot the street. It's a Second Avenue. You can look it up on Google. Second Avenue and, like, Yesler Way in Seattle. And the whole city block is filled from the beginning of the block to the end of the block is filled with tents and bums living in them. They got their own, like, neighborhood and people sweeping the sidewalks. They got people sweeping up the whole block. They got people. They got, like, card tables. They got dominoes tables. They got security. Like, it's this one big black dude. He just sits there, like, security. With his shirt off all day, every day. It's rain, sleet, snow. Knuckleheads, man.
That's a good time. So that's basically where I'm trying to move into.
You're trying to do that?
Yeah.
You trying to be a homeless man?
Yeah, it's my new...
already got the look with that dirty beard, man. You need a shave. How about that?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Hey, man. Hey, listen, dude. It's crazy, man. It's good to see you, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's been a couple years.
It's been a couple years, man. When was the last time?
Connecticut,
man. I ain't been in... Last time I was in the Connecticut, that when I was in the Navy, that was like 2 years ago, man.
Yep. A couple years.
Yeah, man.
Been long. A lot of shit happened in 2 years.
Yeah, a lot of stuff did happen in 2 years. 2 years? Like, so much stuff happened that I don't even remember half of it. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody could know me from like a year ago, and I wouldn't remember them. So much stuff has happened to me in the last year. So, like, from being like jobless to having self-employed, mm-hmm, to having a business, it's crazy.
Yep.
And talking about being jobless to, you know, to being a different person, let's talk about the fall off, man. Mm-hmm. The fall off, man, and coming back.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
That's the important part.
Yeah, that's what makes you, you know. I feel like every time we fall off, it's like a test, man. You know, I'm getting religious here, but I feel like God gives us tests in life. And how we react is how we will be graded. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If you react, you fall off, you know, you hit a rut, you're in a bad spot in your life. And then, you know, you end up coming back even stronger and better from it. I feel like you ace the test. But if you fall off and then you go into a deep hole and then, you know, you just never come back from it, I feel like you failed. You could have, like, there's nothing is ever the worst that it can be. You can always hear somebody's story and it's like, man, somebody really got it worse than I do. Mm-hmm. There's really no reason for me to be complaining right now. Because look at the children. If you go into the Bible, the children of Israel, they were supposed to go there. They were slaves, man. They got free. But they started complaining the whole time. And they never made it to the promised land.
That's why I complain all the time.
Yeah. See, you're doing the right thing, man. You're going to be just like them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all I ever wanted.
But I think the listeners want to know about the fall off, man. Let them know what's going on, man. Let them know what's up with the fall off. If you're comfortable with selling your own experiences, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of moments in my life where I felt like I was where I wanted to be, you know, like I had like kind of made it to a place, you know, and you know, when I was married, I had two kids. Well, I still have two kids. But
that's my ex kids.
My ex wife, my two ex kids. That's a joke I like to say. But no, yeah, we were married, decided to have the second kid, like all this other stuff. We were making more money than we ever had in our lives. About ready to buy a house, everything like that. And, you know, everything just kind of fell apart. You know, she decided she liked this other dude more than me, you know? So, that's when she was pregnant with my daughter. And then, you know, from there, you always think you know how you're going to respond to a situation. You know, we kind of make these scripts for ourselves and stuff. We're like, oh, if I ever caught, you know, my husband or wife cheating or boyfriend or girlfriend, we think of how we want to respond.
I cut his dick off.
Yeah, yeah. Or whatever. Oh, I'll leave right there. Like, there's no conversation. But, like, and that's what I thought. But whenever it actually happened, I really didn't know where to go. You know, I didn't know how to respond to that. And, you know, there's just too many details to really get into it. But, you know, end result, we ended up getting separated. You know, there's a big fallout. And a lot of lying, a lot of, you know, deceit and all that other shit. And where I went from there, you know, that's kind of what led me to the military, because I felt like I didn't really have the family unit anymore, and I wanted to do something like, I wanted to, you know, be somebody that my kids would be proud of, you know what I mean? Because at the time, I was just working in a warehouse. I didn't see anything, like, honorable about that or fucking, like, whatever you want to say. I just wanted to be somebody. So, you know, I went to the recruiters. It was pretty funny because, when I went to the first, it was like they were all in a line when I decided to join. And the first one was the Air Force. I walked in there and they said, all right, we'll put you on the scale. And they were like, at the time, I was like 230 pounds, I think. They were like, you're going to have to lose like at least 40, 50 pounds.
Hey, I got a boy back in Detroit. Hey, Lamar, man, you weigh 250 and you ain't going to lose none of that weight. You continue the story. I'll just let Lamar know what's up.
So they told me that. So I was like, all right, next.
Next.
So the next one was the Marines, and they didn't answer the door. They were like, nobody's home. So the third one was the Navy, and I went in there, and that's where I ended up going with, because they just kept me there. I did the tests, like all that other shit. But it was a long journey from there. I ended up, you know, I went into a little bit about my little medical conditions. And that kind of like made things worse for me, you know, trying to deal with being told everything that you've been working for like, you know, over a year now is basically useless to you for your future, because you're not going to be able to stay in the military. And that was kind of like a unique experience, I think, at just being like, trying your hardest at something and knowing that it doesn't matter anymore, you know. And I kept trying, you know. I tried to keep my head up, but I ended up going way, way out of control for a while. And after the military, came back down to South Florida, down there, man. It's like party central for the most part.
Yeah.
But it's not a good environment. And you realize after you don't have a box that you're put into. Like, I think I was talking to you about this earlier, about how like there's you're not being told like, this is what you're doing today, this is what you're gonna do for the rest of your time. So like with that freedom is kind of like a responsibility to actually keep measure of yourself and stay on track.
Yeah.
And I know I fall off all the time, and I have to constantly like be my own type of keeper, you know, like, you know, just taking care of yourself is difficult at times, but let alone like actually trying to make something successful out of your life. And you know, it is pretty difficult out in Oregon. Is a lot more they pay better, you know. It's a kind of a better crowd from what I've seen as far as things go, less bad influences.
Yeah.
So as you keep surrounding yourself with you know, negativity and partying and everything like that, I mean, that's what you're gonna end up falling into.
Yeah, if you hang out, this to all the young people that might be listening. You know, I don't have very many listeners right now, but you know, if you hang out with a bunch of losers, you yourself will become a loser. Mm-hmm. It's the law of attraction. It's you ever heard your you know, your mother or your father say, "Birds of a feather flock together, mm-hmm. monkey see, monkey do." You know, even if you don't participate in the foolishness that your friends do, if you don't, you know, if you don't separate yourself from them, or try to check, like try to be away from them while they do stuff like that, or, you know, you don't just, if you're around that environment all the time, eventually you will, you know, will become what you do not want to be. You will become a loser.
Mm-hmm.
You'll end up doing those drugs. You'll end up drinking all this stuff every night. You know, you'll end up doing all the crazy stuff that you thought you would never do, but you're hanging around these people all the time, the bad influences. You need to get the bad influences out your life. I feel like somebody needed to hear that.
And it's not always as dramatic as it seems like on, like, the TV and movies and shit like that, where, like, you know, people that are actually addicted to drugs, they just seem like every day, like, just real casual about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not all of them look like they're strung out on drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, they're skipping rent to be buying like cocaine and shit like that. And they don't. You wouldn't even know unless you know them. And it's not good. And you know, just leads to that. But on the up, being able to focus on yourself. Because really everything just comes from within yourself, you know, and I used to blame my circumstances a lot and blame the other people, like blame my ex-wife, like, oh, she did this to me and like all this other shit. But then realizing that it's really just, you know, within yourself to control your own environment.
I feel like that's like a first step to, you know, to go into the next level, you know. Mm-hmm. Once you start taking blame for your own, for your position in life, you start taking blame for it, instead of, you know, blaming somebody else, you know, oh, it's the man's fault that I'm not in the position that I'm supposed to be in. I mean, once you start taking the blame for your own mess ups, your self-inflicted damage, and then you can move forward, and then you can be, you know, you can start on that track to being successful.
And it actually starts to feel good eventually, being responsible for yourself and knowing that, you like, know, you have the control of your destiny.
Yep. I fucked up. You know, it's my fault. I did that. Like, you need to start saying that to yourself. Like, man, instead of saying like, man, I wish they wouldn't have ruined my opportunity. I'd be in the NBA right now, man. I should be in the NFL right now, man, if it wasn't for my bad coach. Like, there's always, come on, man. Like, you can't blame somebody else for your mishaps. It's yours, Z. You can't blame somebody else for your life being messed up. It's not their life. It's your life. So you can't blame somebody else for them messing up your life unless they actually do something to you, like kill you. I mean, you could say it's their fault that I'm dead.
That'd be kind of inconvenient, then.
You could say, oh, it's their fault that I'm dead, because it really is. They blazed you to death. You know what I'm saying? They shot you till you was on fire. But, you can't blame somebody else for your position in life, man. You need to take accountability for it, guys. I'm letting y'all know that. That's some game from Cartier, man. But, continue, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
I mean, that's really what it is. And now, like, I mean, I'm up here and every day instead of going to the bar, I go to the coffee shop. You know, that was one of my things because I did enjoy drinking a lot. You know, I don't know why. I guess that's just a comfort thing. But again, like I said, I go to the coffee shop. I bring my little notepad, read some books. You know, try and surround myself with positivity, and it does make a big difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even when I don't feel like, you know, doing it, I'll just listen to podcasts, you know, listen to, like, people that are smarter than me and the people that have been through, you know, a lot. And it does. It just helps to stay on that track. And right now, like, I got a lot of things that I want to, you know, pursue. It's just a matter of I'm just narrowing that down and I'm going to be pursuing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just it's good.
That's good to hear, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, man. 360. It's not 360. That means
the 180.
Yeah, 180. We both got the 180 story. We both hit the bottom. Like, it's funny how the bottom was in the Navy.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna keep slandering the Navy like that. You know, if you want to join the military, I will not. I won't tell you not to.
It's definitely not for everybody, but
it's not for everybody. It definitely wasn't for me because I don't like working for people, which is why. Which is why I started my own business. And speaking of that, we have another advertisement. We'll be right back. This episode of the Cartier Show has been brought to you by Lifesaver Roadside Assistance. Lifesaver Roadside Assistance provides top quality roadside assistance to those in need of emergency automotive services such as jump starts, tire changes, auto lockouts, and fuel deliveries. All at extremely competitive prices and remarkable arrival time. Here at Lifesaver, we not only help our customers make it home safely, we save our customers cash and time. So let us save your life by calling Lifesaver Roadside Assistance. Currently in the King and Kitsap counties of the state of Washington and coming to Detroit soon in the month of November of 2020. So give us a call.
Got in it, dude.
That shit is disgusting, man.
But carrots, celery, beets, parsley, lettuce.
Yeah, I'm recording.
Watercress, spinach.
Hey, nasty.
This is delicious.
He's drinking his VA juice. It smells and tastes like Chef Boyardee ravioli sauce. I don't like it.
It's better if you throw pepper in it.
Ugh. Why do they have it in a can like it's a soda or something, man? Like, no, not soda. I'm from Detroit, man. Why they got it in this can like it's a pop, boy? How we gonna drink that? Yeah, ain't no pop, boy. That's nasty beet juice, bro.
It's a sody.
It's a sody pop. Sody pop. Sody pop. You ever seen them 600-pound sisters talking about sody pops?
No.
You ever seen that?
No.
So it's like 600-pound sisters and like the one fat sister is blaming the other sister for everything that's wrong with her. It's like, I'm fat because of you.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah.
Y'all believe that?
They eat like 3 plates when they go out to eat at Golden Corral's. Like, each. And they fill to the brim.
They actually eat the plate, too?
Probably so. If they could, they would. If I would, I could. If I could, I would, you know? Well, let's get into this other thing, man. You know, we got another thing in common. That's we've been around the country, around the globe, man. You know,
doing a little bit of that.
Doing a little bit of countries, man. Country touring, traveling, man. What's the significance of doing a lot of traveling? What do you think you learned from doing from all your travels across the country?
Let's see. Well, people really are different in different places. You know, they got different values, everything like that, you know.
Yeah, like some people care about doing cocaine, some people don't.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was getting at. No, but I lived in, let's see, Northeast Tennessee, Northern Alabama, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Florida, a bunch of different places in Florida. I think I already said Connecticut. Then Oregon now. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, like Tennessee, for example, there's, like, nothing to do. I mean, we live down in the country. You got to drive, like, 30 minutes to a Walmart. So the people there will have, like, just different things that they do. You know, most of them were really involved with the church. You know, they all, like, everybody owned fucking guns. They had, like, you know, going to the fucking shooting range or, you know, things like that, outdoor stuff. Just floating down the river fishing, raising chickens. And then, I mean, it's just different, man. You interact with a lot of people here, a lot of stories, a lot of crazy stories.
Yeah, they smashed their sister, you know, stuff like that.
Down
south. You know how it go, them inbreds.
I'm not going to say anything, but there was a dude that I worked with, and one of the legitimate things that he was complaining about was that his mom wouldn't let him date his cousin.
Excuse me? Hey, guys, you heard it here. Inbred sex is happening.
No, the mom's no mom won't let him.
Mom won't.
So it's not happening.
So his mom wouldn't let him date his cousin.
Yeah.
And he was upset about that?
He was upset, yeah.
He was upset he couldn't date his cousin.
Yep. I don't know why he had to ask his mom. He was like 20 something years old, but
hey mom, can I date my cousin?
He did have a speech impediment and he looked kind of weird, but
he might have been inbred himself.
Maybe.
Jesus Christ.
Inbred is best.
No, it's not. It's not best at all. It's not good.
It's what kind of bread do you like for your breakfast? I like inbred.
Hey, this is why. Yeah, I don't understand this, man. What was your favorite state that you lived in?
I love Tennessee. Florida's good for certain things. I would say that it's more like a temporary. I like it for vacation because the beautiful beaches.
Yeah, that's how Hawaii was for me. When I lived in Hawaii, I was like, yeah, I would never live here. I'll be in Hawaii for like a week or two, then I get bored and like. Mm. But you can always go to another island in Hawaii. They got like a whole bunch of islands you can go to. And you know, you just go to a different island. But once you get done with all the islands, you do all them stupid, you know, what's some things called? Them hikes. You do all them hikes. You can do all those, you know, skydiving. You do all that stuff in Hawaii. Go to all the beaches. Once you do all that, it's like, all right, I'm tired of this place. Let me go to an actual place where I can settle down.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Oregon is actually really nice. I like the people out here for the most part. Like, everybody's real cool, real easy to approach. Everybody's got, like, wild-ass colored hair. Like, the dude's working at the gas station. He's, like, 60 years old. He's got blue hair.
You know? Like, yeah, it's weirdos.
Yeah. But it's cool because everybody's like that. So it's, like, everything's normal, you know? Like, no matter, like, what you were, like, if you feel like an outcast or something like that, I just feel like you fit in with, like, anybody over there. And nobody really, like, there's no, like, judgments and shit like that. Which is a cool aspect of it, you know? I like the rivers. You just go in there like looking for agates, petrified wood. That's what I like to do. Real beautiful country though. I mean, I think a lot of people feel like they gotta go like all over the world to see like something beautiful or like there's nothing here in America. But there's a lot to see here. Okay. And I mean, even just a few hours drive, sometimes you could just find something. Like we went to Crater Lake. You know, that's on the back of the quarter. I mean, it's just breathtaking stuff, man. There's a lot to actually experience, you know, just even in the U.S.
Yeah, you got a bunch of stuff out here, man. It's mostly, most of the country is woods. farmland.
Yeah, hills.
Yeah, most of the country is beautiful. It's sightseeing stuff, but most people live in the city, so they don't really get to, bless you. They don't get to see all the good stuff because they, you know, they ain't trying to lead the block. So I one thing I tell you from all the traveling across the world is, like, you know, I would try to lead a block. Mm-hmm. I'd get off the block and try to go see. You know, you could just go to the next town over. Go to the nearest, you know, suburb or something. Go look over there. Go look out there. Go look at some trees. You know, just do something. Just get out the hood.
Smoke peyote. Dance with the wolves.
What? You tripping, man. I don't even know what you're talking about right now, dude. You're a knucklehead, dude. You know that?
You know, one thing that's actually really cool is, you notice that in certain places, it'll be, like, hella expensive to live there for, like, no reason. Like down in South Florida, you pay, like, close to $2,000 for some places, like Fort Lauderdale and areas like that. If you actually want to live in a, like, decent spot. Then, like, out in Tennessee, it was, like, only $650 was, like, a damn, you know, beautiful house on, like, with acreage. And I mean, it might be different now, but just seeing the difference, I feel like, you know, we stay where we were born in that same little town. We think that that's all there is or something. I don't know, but you could branch out and go and see, like, there's just more to offer in other places. And maybe you fit in and, like, actually enjoy yourself more somewhere else.
Yeah, I've been all over, but, you know, it's nothing like being back home. And, like, now that I've been all over, I feel like it's time to go back home and make an impact there and try to change it. Because I feel like a lot of people try to, you know, if you grow up in a bad neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to leave the neighborhood. You know, everybody's like, oh, man, I'm getting out the hood. But I kind of want to go back and try to change it so it can be, you know, it'd be better for the future. So when people start getting older and older, you know, as generations go on, people won't be like, man, I'm trying to get out the city, man. I'm trying to leave the city. Now, they want to stay there and help it grow because, you know, I did something out there, you know, and I made a difference.
Well, also, yeah, it gives you that perspective to know, like, what it would be like in different areas, too. And, like, seeing that, you could actually start to appreciate certain aspects of what you were already experiencing. And you have more, you know, just more perspective. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I hated Florida at first, like, when I moved out there to Tennessee, when my son was born, we left Florida. I was like, yeah, I hate Florida, yada, yada. But then when you're away from it for a while, you're like, you know what, there's actually, it's a pretty nice state, dude, you know?
Yeah. You know, you're away, you get homesick.
Yeah.
I'm so homesick, man. I miss the food. I miss everything back home. It's nothing like, there's nothing like that anywhere else. Like, I feel like there's nowhere else like that. I feel like the people, there's no people like that out here. Because then, you know, where I'm from, if you disrespect somebody, you could lose your life. But out here, disrespect is the norm.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's something I didn't take kindly. Like, I remember a dude kicked my car.
That old man?
This old man gonna kick my car. So I'm like, hey, man, you just kicked my car? I'm about to kick your ass. And then he act like the victim, like he didn't do anything wrong. I'm like, dude, you don't deserve respect when you disrespect somebody else. But it was like, it's like it was pointless even trying to explain that to him because he's probably been out here his whole life. He's been living like, you can't change somebody from being stupid all their life with 10 seconds of being smart. You know, you have to be there, and I don't feel like teaching nobody, especially, you know, 64-year-old man, how to be a common sense and how to have empathy. You know, that's not what I'm here to do. You know, I'm trying to make it to 64.
That's it?
Yeah. No, I'm trying to make it past that. I want to go past 64. Let me make it to 150.
I'm just trying to make up 64 more minutes, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Any more than that, dude.
That's why I got them V8s, man.
Yeah, dude.
Man, when I tell you guys, man, I really don't like these nasty-ass V8s he brought in my car,
What's
man.
Funny, though, he keeps taking sips of it, though, in the face he's making. He's like...
I'm taking a sip of the V8 right now, and I want you guys to listen to my reaction. I'm about to throw up. That's how terrible this V8 is. It tastes like fucking... It tastes like ketchup without sugar. You know, it tastes like salty ketchup. That's what it tastes like.
Most delicious.
But in a juice form. It is horrible. I don't advise anybody to take this juice unless you're getting, like, an actual fruit. That's the only way I would do it. It's funny to you, man?
Yeah, it is.
I'll knock you up, man.
All right, that's good. That's good. All right, I got to go now. Start running. You just hear my footsteps.
I wanted to record this, man, but listen, I don't got a camera. Nope. Oh, man. Hey, dude.
What about that camera right there? That thing looks nice, dude. It's Where? Fancy. Where? Looks like you spent $2,000 on that thing.
Oh, the iPhone?
No, it's just this nice camera you got.
Where? I don't have a camera in here, man. What are you talking about? Tell me I spent $2,000 on nothing. I would never do that. I spent $3,000 on sunglasses, though. Like a fucking knucklehead. These glasses gonna make me some money, though. I'm gonna pimp these glasses till I can't no more.
Yeah, rent them out.
Yeah, I'm gonna rent them out to people. Like $100. You can wear these glasses for like a couple hours.
Yeah. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, man. Oh, speaking of cross country, you know, have you been outside of the United States?
Me, no.
Well, I have.
Why don't you tell me a story?
I will tell you a story. I'll tell you a story from when I was, I would tell of glory. I would tell a victory. About how 150 men on a submarine went to Spain. And possibly 100 of the men went to a whorehouse.
Oh. All right.
And all of them did some crazy things.
Uh-oh.
In those different states. Everywhere that we... I'm not even going to say when I did this. But I didn't do it. I didn't go. Let me stop. Let me fix myself. I did not go to a whorehouse ever in my life. When we pulled into Spain, let me stop right there because I can't even tell you guys about that deployment because it's a secret. But man, I'm trying to figure out a way I could tell the story without telling the story. But I didn't go to these whorehouses. It was a bunch of these single guys and some of the other guys that were going to these whorehouses, man. And they were coming back like happy. I remember before we got to the place, my boy was like, "Hey, man, you know we going to Spain, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know we going to Spain." He's like, "Listen, dude, I'm trying to get a legit massage. Are you trying to come with?" I'm like, "Man, listen, dude, you know, a massage would be great at this time, but I already know the kind of dude you are. I don't trust you, bro. Like, anything that you do is probably sleazy, dirtbaggish. It's going to involve trying to get some sex from some women. So I really don't have nothing. I really don't even want to hang out with you. I don't even know why you're talking to me right now. You need to get out of my face in like 10 seconds. Something bad going to happen to you." But he ends up going to the massage parlor with like another dude.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude tells me the story about what happened. And then eventually they end up like they get a happy ending at this massage parlor. And that's happened to like 50 other dudes.
Does that mean they just get like a foot massage too?
No,
the happy ending?
No, no.
That's something else?
Yeah, something else. Happy ending is something else.
All right, got you.
Yeah. So they end up, all these dudes getting happy endings. Like everywhere that we went, I think prostitution was legal in that country or something like that. So they would be like, they would be going out, like, just going out doing it.
It was legal prostitution in the United States?
Yeah, Las Vegas. That's it.
Gotta go to Chicken Ranch, man.
You know the place and everything, don't you? You just incriminated yourself.
No, they were closed for coronavirus when I was passing through, man. Your face.
Okay. So you just a slime ball, huh? Oh, so you a dirty man, huh?
No. No, it was a friend of mine was telling me about it. Said they were closed, so he couldn't go, so.
How come you can't look me straight in the face when you say that?
I don't
know,
man. I'm just busy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you busy lying. That's what you're
doing. Yeah, just fixing my mask. You know? That's what I got to do.
Yeah, man. These people out here. Oh, my God, man. It was nasty, man. It was horrible, bro. It was nasty and horrible. And then you hear, and then like once, like you hear all these stories about all the gay stuff that was happening on the boat, by all these self-proclaimed straight men, but you know, you be catch them underwater for like a month. They turn into a fish, man. It's crazy, bro.
Well, I guess everybody's hair starts getting kind of long. They get confused.
What?
He says, what? What'd they say on the submarines, 100 sailors go down, 50 couples come back up?
Yeah, that's another reason why I didn't like being in the Navy, man. It was like, come on, why is there so much gay stuff going on, bro? I was like, man, all these dudes is doing too much, man. And then they knew that I didn't like all the gay talk. Like, I didn't like all the, like, I'm not a homophobe, man. You know, I'm not scared of gay people. But I'm just not gay. You know what I mean? Like, people, no, they would like, misinterpret it. Look at those boogers on your hands? What is that?
This? No, I'm just picking the little...
Oh, I was like...
Yeah, I'm just picking my nose real quick, man.
You nasty, nasty bastard.
You don't mind if I wipe it on here, Dave?
Man. Come on, dude.
Come on, dude. First with the V8, now this?
You got the nasty V8s, and now you got the nasty...
You want another one?
No, I don't. I didn't even finish the first one. I didn't even get halfway. Not even a quarter way through with the first one. I need to drink something else just to make up for this stuff that I just drank now. It's nasty, horrible. Yeah,
disgusting.
But... Disgusting, horrible, nasty. Yeah. But, yeah. Across the country, across the world, man. Listen. Get out the hood. Do something else. Travel. See some other places. You know? Because when you're stuck seeing the same place the whole time, you know...
You're stale.
Yeah, you don't get a different perspective of life. You know? That's all I got to say about that, man.
Go hug a bum.
Nah, don't go hug a bum.
Give him all your money.
Don't do that either.
Join the Navy.
Don't do that either.
Go hook up with some prostitutes.
Don't do that either.
Just live your life, man.
No, don't do it. Don't do anything, he said. What are you trying to do, man?
You don't want to be that old dude with no stories to tell, you know what I mean?
I got stories to tell. I didn't do any of the stuff you just said. I did give a bum $50 in Hawaii, though.
Oh, there you go.
I gave him $50 cash. All singles.
Yeah? Was you talking about the gay stuff a minute ago? Huh? What do you do for you, man?
What do you do for me? What do you mean, what he do for me? I didn't even do nothing. What are you trying to say here?
I'm not saying nothing, man. I'm just asking.
Yeah, man. But I did give him $50. That was nothing. At that time, I was getting like $2,800 a check.
That was just your BAH, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was BAH. I was getting like $2,800 a check 2 times a month.
Hell yeah.
So it was pretty good money out there. But, yeah, that's it about the traveling around the world, man. Yeah, bro.
Times.
I guess that's the oh yeah, E3. that's the end of the man.
Get the fuck out
of my- Alright, let's go side before we end, let's tell side story from Connecticut. What did I used to do whenever we went to Zoomies?
Oh yeah, so there's this chick there, and I think she had like she had her nose pierced, she had like everything going on.
Yeah.
And but her name was Megan, and every day we'd be at the mall, he'd go over to her, and he's like, hey, shake my hand, you know, like, just saying what's up, because you're a little familiar. And she'd be like, every time she'd go to shake his hand, he'd pull his hand back, go, get the fuck out of my face.
Dude, I remember talking to, I was talking trash about people from Connecticut at the time. I was like, man, everybody from Connecticut is a loser, man. They got all these piercings in their face. They got all these tattoos.
And he's talking to this
and
girl.
And I'm talking to her with...
She got everything that he's talking about.
She got everything that I'm saying. She got the tattoos. She got the piercings. And I'm looking right at her. I'm like, oh, my bad. I'm not talking about you, though.
She is cool, though.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. And then what happened?
Nothing. That was it, man.
Yeah, but all right, man. That was what's up, man. Hey, Harris. Question.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's you, dude. Thanks for coming out here, man.
I appreciate it.
It was nice talking to you, dude. You know, nice having a guest, man. You know, we got fans on the Cartier Show, man. Go to the Instagram page that we got. It's @the_Cartier Show. That's @the_Cartier Show. That's @the_Cartier Show on Instagram. And go follow us, man.
How do you spell show?
How you spell show? Yeah. Oh, SHOW.
Yeah, I was confused for a second.
Yeah. That's @the_Cartier, C A @RTIER show SHOW.
Thank you.
On Instagram.
I appreciate it.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Did you graduate kindergarten?
No, I never went.
Okay.
I skipped it.
What I saw, man. All
right, peace.
It's coming out. Let me get some. Yo, man, your hands sweaty are sweaty, hand. Man. I shouldn't even high five you.
I told him.
Peace out.